Okay. Parshas Truma, Tav Shin, Samach. What are we in?
Yes.
I knew that. Okay. So what we're going to do today is we are going to focus on the first pasuk, really. The words of the first... The first words of the parsha. Parsha, really, the second pasuk. Dabro b'nei Yisrael. Speak to them. Vayikhu li truma, and let them take from me a truma. Me'es kol ish asher yedvenu libo. From every person whose heart compels them or motivates them to donate, that is where you should take my truma from. We're going to focus on the word li. Vayikhu li, take it for me. The implications of those words, Rashi only adds one word, li, lishmi. It has to be for my sake, l'shem shemaim lishma. Totally for no other reasons but that it should be donated to me. We'll focus on that. And the concept of the importance of the voluntary aspect of these donations. Now let's just go through a couple of technical details about the Mishkan. The Mishkan was going to be built and was going to be erected, of course, in the Midbar. Okay? It would be, on the one hand, a product of voluntary donations. All the materials and fabrics and oil would be voluntary donations that the people made, and that is the content of our pasuk. At the same time, once the Mishkan is established, many funds were needed to keep, you know, to keep it going. There were sacrifices to buy, there was oil that was needed for the menorah, there were upkeep and maintenance, and those were necessities, and they were not subject to volunteer donation. They were demanded of the people to contribute. So what we have to distinguish is, in order to build the Mishkan, Hashem requested voluntary donations. In order to maintain the Mishkan once it was already established, there was no volunteerism. HaKadosh Baruch Hu demanded that Klal Yisrael do what they had to do to support the Mishkan. Okay? Now, so what we're focusing on is the building of the Mishkan, not the ongoing, you know, the ongoing functioning of the Mishkan. And as we said, we're speaking about Li, that it had to be Lishma, and it had to be a donation. The connection between donating and Lishma. In other words, if somebody said, I'm donating because, you know, I don't want to be punished, or, you know, that wasn't acceptable. What about this? What about if somebody said, I don't feel like donating for the Mishkan? Were they putter? No, they weren't putter. So we have to, they were not absolved from it. So what is, you know, the dedication, the volunteerism all about? That's really our question. Most of our ideas in the beginning will come from Rav Moshe Shapiro, but of course we'll be working with some ideas from Rav Huttner and the Rambam, my grandfather. But the core idea is from Rav Moshe Shapiro. The question is the following. What is the point of the Mishkan? That's how we start. If we understand the purpose of the Mishkan, we'll understand why it had to be voluntarily built and why it had to be L'shem Shemayim. So the famous Ramban that I'm sure you're familiar with, Ramban explains that really what the Mishkan was about was preserving the experience of Mamad Har Sinai forever, right in our midst, that we would have somewhere to go, somewhere physical on this earth, which would be as transcendent and as perfect as Har Sinai was. The experience of Har Sinai, which took us out of the confines of, you know, what we normally understand or think, and our struggles, our conflicts, our, you know, our human element. It took us out of that for a moment. We saw the truth. We saw Hashem's presence. And we were connected to it. That wasn't something that was supposed to dissipate as soon as the Har Sinai experience was over. That experience had to remain with us, and it remained with us through the Mishkan, which would be a place where people could come to experience the Shekhinah that was present there. Now, it wasn't like there was more Shekhinah in the Mishkan than there is right here in this room. Okay? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a liquid or a solid or a gas that's concentrated here and less concentrated there. If we create a place that is dedicated and separated from the world and dedicated to recognizing Hashem and serving Hashem, then in that place we are capable of feeling it more and experiencing it more. It's a change in the person that happens in that place. It's not that Hashem is more there or more here. So that Mishkan was meant to always be for us a place to go to regroup, really, to strengthen ourselves, to, in a sense, a bubble where we could be reconnected to the presence of Hashem in this world. And another way of describing that, another way of talking about that, is that what Hasinai really did is it brought, let's not use the word Shechina, let's move on to a more precise word, Shechina's general presence, but what we're focusing on is that what Har Sinai did and what the Mishkan was supposed to do is it brought the kavod of Hashem into the world. The kavod of Hashem, the honor of Hashem. Now, what does that mean? What is honor? Honor is a peculiar thing because the person that is honored cannot be the source of his own honoration, so to speak. Honoring comes from the fact that there's another person, and that person so much admires or respects or reveres someone greater than them, you might say, that they want to honor them. They feel an emotion which we call kavod, a desire to honor, to believe that this other person is worthy of respect. And maybe even, and maybe even deference too. We're talking about a human being. So we understand that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in Har Sinai is he certainly created a situation where Klal Yisrael were very able and willing and yearning to respond to that revelation with a great sense of kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they understood at that moment that there is one creator, and the creator is the source of everyone's life and the cause and the purpose and fills up the whole world, and there's nothing more valuable than being connected, nothing more meaningful or satisfying than being connected, and a sense of huge gratitude. This is the main issue. Huge gratitude and satisfaction that we had the ability, the privilege, to know our creator, to be chosen by the creator, to be designated by the Creator, and to want to live up to that. That's really part of kavod, to want to live up to the privilege we've been given and to be grateful for it and to appreciate the honor that it is. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Har Sinai is give us kavod, gave us the ability to bring, to attach ourselves to kavod, to the kavod of Hashem in this world, and to be really the vehicle for Hashem's kavod in this world. Now, we'll talk about that further. Now, what happens? How are Klal Yisrael the vehicle for Hashem's kavod in the world? So we know, where our pasuk tells us, Kol Ma, every single thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, here is it exactly, here, Kol Ma Shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'olamo, Lo Bara Ela Lechvodo, everything Hashem created in this world, He only created for His honor. What does that mean? Now this comes from the Gemara, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Vav. What does it mean? Everything Hashem created was only that He should get honor. So simply reading that, it sounds pretty, embarrassing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seeking honor. What the Avos is telling us is that every single Bria here on this world, on this earth, of course, people who are the epitome, the reason for all the other creations, the highest point of creation, was created to bring kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that's really not about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as it is about us. That was the point of Har Sinai, and in the end, that was the same role that the Mishkan was going to play, as we say, Beheichalo, in his Heichal Kulo Omer Kavod. Everything says kavod. The Big Day Kahuna, Lekavod Ulitiferes, or for kavod. We were given a place where we can display and express our kavod. But how is that for us versus for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Now here we get to a philosophical point. People ask the most basic question in the whole wide world, why did Hashem make the world? What did He need people for? Isn't He powerful without us? Isn't He perfect without us? Didn't He exist without us? What does He need this whole enterprise for? Right? That is a most basic question. And everybody has struggled with it. And the answer that's given is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us and gave us and filled us with a sense that it's good And Hashem did it to be meitiv, to do good. That this is all an act of doing good for us. Well, how do we feel that this is good? Sometimes we have suffering in our life, difficulties. How do we feel that this whole thing is good for us? Hashem did it to be meitiv, to bestow goodness. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardwired all human beings in a certain way, and we know it for a fact, and we've spoken about it here. Human beings are driven by some very basic motivations. Okay? Now, psychiatrists or therapists or psychoanalysts will differ on what are the basic motivations that drive people, and you have things like avoidance of pain. Okay? Pursuit of pleasure. Freud taught everyone that human beings, all kinds of neuroses and mashagasim and problems come from a frustrated pursuit of pleasure. And this is the core. It's all not true. That isn't true. We know and we're taught that what motivates people and what drives people and what lets people persevere and get through the most difficult situations and achieve is a desire, a motivation for meaning. People are driven by feeling that they have a purpose, that they have a meaning. That is the driving force of most of accomplishment, of satisfaction, of health, that we have a purpose and we have a meaning. Even in the worst form of suffering, if you feel there's a purpose to it and there's a meaning to it, it can build the person. And a person is not doesn't become a victim to the suffering. And of course, we mentioned here the famous book that describes this idea. A lot of people are, you know, it's classic reading. Viktor Frankl's Man's Search for Meaning. Even in the depths of the Holocaust, if you could see meaning and purpose in your suffering, you could actually physically feel pain, but rise above it and make it into a blessing even for someone else. Comfort people, give away your last piece of bread, find glory in the fact that you represent an ideal of the Jewish people that nobody can destroy no matter how hard they try, and you're a part of that awareness that will dawn on the world just by your suffering. Man's search for meaning, and that is definitely a Torah approach. That is what most people need, and it's the source of a sense of serenity, satisfaction, calm, no matter what the person's going through. If there's meaning, it's acceptable. And we know that when a person feels that their life is filled with meaning, they are, you might not want to say always in a state of pleasure, physical, but they are always in a state of happiness and satisfaction, deep happiness and satisfaction, that they have meaning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardwired us this way. We've spoken about the fact that if you tell a person that you have no purpose and you have no meaning, right? We talked about the Anochi, I. When a person says I, they feel purposeful. I have something. And if you tell somebody you have no purpose and you have no meaning, a human being will not accept that. Even if your evolution, you know, you're an accident of evolution, nobody made you, nobody's watching you, nobody cares what you do, there's no reward and punishment, there's no judge. So have fun, eat, drink, and be merry, like it's a good thing. Nobody will accept that. They will reject it, and they will, and that resistance to being told that I'm meaningless and I'm purposeless will express itself in the end in very destructive ways, either against themselves or against other people. But it'll lead to destruction and anger and fury and rage and all the negative things. Purpose is the real motivating force in people's lives. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us that way. So, do we have a purpose vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the big picture? Isn't Hashem perfect and, you know, omnipotent, all-powerful, and all-knowing, and immortal without us? So do we have a purpose? Actually, what we're really, you know, bumping up against is the conflict between Emes Malkeinu, Efes Ulaso. There's Hashem is Emes, and there's really everything else is nothing. Einod Mavado, there's really nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're just a expression of the will that we should be here, but Hashem is perfect and complete without us. And the idea that a person has a reason, has a purpose to exist, and a person, you know, does exist in a real sense, and has that there's real objective truth to our existence in a sense outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the person also is real and exists, and not just a momentary figment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's imagination, but is also immortal and has a kiyum, that there's reality to the person, and it's not just ein od milvado. So that's what we're really bumping up against, and what we're saying is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us is he said, yes, a person has ultimate meaning and ultimately is immortal and exists and is real and is purposeful, in that I have created a situation, Hashem tells us, where my kavod and my malchus, in other words, the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is in the hands of people. It's we hold the reins to Hashem's kavod in this world. We are the source of Hashem being recognized in this world. We said that kavod has to be expressed by another person. And not the person himself can't say, here I am all alone and I have honor. It has to be that there are others out there who bestow honor. So allowing human beings, the most significant role of the ones that bestow honor on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without which Hashem would not have honor in this world, means that we are very necessary, we are very needed, we absolutely have a purpose here in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you might say, needs us, and there's no greater meaning than that. Really, when we say Hashem created the world and was mativ, gave us good, the good ultimately that Hashem gave us is he made us critically important to his own success, so to speak, of being recognized here. He put it in the hands of people. Rav Huttner says in a mimer in Sukkos, he says the following, Shekavod Shemayim Hu Rak Al Yedei Adam. And he connects two famous verses that we always repeat, right? The verse HaKadosh Baruch Hu said when he first created man, Pru, Urevu, Umilu Es Haaretz, multiply and increase yourselves and fill up the world. Now, isn't multiplying and increasing yourself pretty much the same as filling up the world? So he says, Milu Es Haaretz isn't physical. He relates it to Malo Kol Haaretz Kevodo. The whole world has to be filled with kavod of Hashem, recognition of Hashem, and that's what human beings have to fill the world with. And it's in the hands of human beings, kavod, filling and filling. Malo kol haaretz kavodo, pru revu umilu es haaretz. So human beings have it in their potential to fill this world with kavod, which means to fill this world with meaning, that every human being is therefore meaningful and plays a role to that end. So how do we fill the world with Hashem's kavod? By giving every single thing we do, meaning that it all leads back to that, that that's in the end the reason for all things. Now, that, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed, so to speak, his kavod on our Sinai, what became apparent to us is that we, by accepting the Torah, agreed, in a sense, to work, to fulfill what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed from us, to be the carriers, the chariots, the bearers of his kavod in this world. Well, our Sinai, the events of our Sinai only lasted a few minutes, or however long they lasted. And that experience, though, couldn't just dissipate. It had to be maintained within the nation, and it was maintained through the Mishkan. The Mishkan was a place also of kavod, where people would have a chance to demonstrate their desire to bring the kavod of Hashem to this world, that we would fulfill our role. So the Mishkan was a place that people, we created, and we created the possibility that there would be a place on this earth that their kavod of Hashem would be apparent. So now we're beginning to understand why Rashi says, Vayikhu li truma, take it li, Rashi says, l'shmi, l'shem shamayim. In all things, in all mitzvahs, it's okay if we say, mitoch shalo l'shma, ba l'shma. Through the fact that it's not l'shma, eventually you'll get to the, that it is l'shma. But not in the building of the Mishkan. It couldn't be. Because we know that any kavod that's offered not lishma is not kavod. It's not coveting. It's actually embarrassment. If somebody honors somebody else because they want something from them, but they really don't think very highly of them, or if somebody is obsequious, you know, and kind of kowtows to a person and builds them up because they're trying to flatter them, but they really can't stand them, that isn't really kavod. When we're talking about real, essential kavod, what we're talking about is a true sense of honor that is by definition sincere and lishma. So Rashi says, when you give to build the Mishkan, which means you play your role, you play your role in bringing the covenant of Hashem here, which is what I need you for and gives you purpose, that you recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu and you bring honor to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it has to be l'shem shemayim. It has to be only for honor. It can't be for anything else. And here's where we get to the concept of Asher Yidvenu Libo, that his heart pushes him to, that it has to be voluntary. It's the same concept. You can't force a person to give kavod. If you do, it's not kavod. It's something else. It's self-serving. It's a lie. It's a farce. It's not kavod. Kavod is all lishma, all voluntary, all the recognition, and it comes from the person. When we recognize that it's our ability, we have the ability to bring the kavod of Hashem into this world, and it comes from us, and we're motivated to do it, then we have the ultimate meaning. And we feel the tov, we feel the goodness of it. But it's got to be entirely left in our hands. If we're forced to obey the rules of Hashem, we still have to. That's what we say, Kila Hashem HaMelucha. Melucha is when a melech is recognized by the people. He's called a melech when it comes from the adoration and the gratitude of the people and the desire of the people to worship the king because of their appreciation. But if not, he's called a moshel. Kila Hashem hamlucha u'moshel bagoyim. Nevertheless, Hashem is a moshel. What's a moshel? Someone who imposes his demands on the people, whether they like it or not. It's our choice whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for us a moshel, a dictator, or a melech that we voluntarily anoint, so to speak, and crown as our king. So here, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really saying is, and don't forget, even by Nasa V'Nishma, even in the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu offered us this, do you want to be? He told Moshe, go put it before them. Do you want to be Goy Kadosh? You know, Mamlechet Kohanim, do you want to rise to the challenge and be the vehicles? Once we agree to this, then we live in a very unusual position where the kavod, Hashem's own kavod, is in our hands, and that means we are needed. There's nothing more satisfying in this world to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu depends, so to speak, on us, and we have a role to play, and a desire that builds in a person to play that role, to feel necessary. And that's how Hashem was mativ, did good to us, gave us the ability to feel what we really need to feel, needed, necessary. Now, of course, you have to say, this is all built in. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have set up the world in a whole different way. But whatever it is, from our perspective, we're talking about from our perspective, we know we are needed. Why it had to be that way, why Hashem made us to feel needed, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's determination. But we know we are needed. We know we have a purpose. That's what we mean when we say, for example, Tinu Oz Le'Elokim. Empower God. We actually empower HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be known and to be revealed in this world. That's also, the Beis HaLevi says something similar. He says, Schar Mitzvah Mitzvah. Now, we normally translate it as, the reward for doing a mitzvah is the opportunity to do another mitzvah. Really, he takes it in a deeper way, a more subtle way. He says, Schar mitzvah, allowing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you the rewards of your mitzvahs, which is a closeness to Hashem, a recognition of Hashem in this world, a bond with Hashem, more kavod shamayim in this world, which is why you did the mitzvah. The schar, okay, schar mitzvah, the reward of a mitzvah, allowing Hashem to give us reward for our mitzvahs, the benefits of our mitzvahs, is a mitzvah. We've just done a mitzvah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've done something on behalf that God, in a sense, needed from us. We've done a mitzvah, a good deed to God by allowing Him to give us, to release to us, what he wants to release anyway, that there should be an awareness, a presence of Hashem in this world, a meaning to the person's life. We've just let him do that for us by doing the mitzvah. So what we're talking about here is that it has to be lishma, it has to be a voluntary. Now, this take this idea further. Really, the concept of nidvas libo, that is heart, a person extends themselves, volunteers. That is the essence of our role as Jewish people. The Gemara says the following, as Heshi showed me this morning. In Chagiga, in the first perek, the Rava quotes a pasuk that refers to Klal Yisrael, a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, that refers to Klal Yisrael as Bas Nidiv, the daughter of the volunteer. Okay? And he says, Bas Nidiv, Bito Shel Avram Avinu, Shenikra Nidiv. We are the daughter of Avram, who is called volunteer. Shenemar, as it says, Nidive Amim Nesafu Am Elokei Avraham. The volunteers of the nations have gathered the nation of the God of Avraham. And that's talking about when we gather in the Beis HaMikdash, we are called the volunteers. And why is it called Am Elokei Avraham, Elokei Avraham, Velo Elokei Yitzchak V'Yaakov, the Gemara asks? Elokei Avraham, Shehaya Techila Legerim, he was the first that came to it, that volunteered in a sense. So we are called Bas Nadiv. Our whole identity is that we have chosen to be the bearers of the Kavod Hashem in this world. And that fills us with great satisfaction. Here is something else. Think about this. Who had the merit, because the whole Mishkan and the whole Beis HaMikdash in the end was about Kavod, giving people a chance to really have meaning by showing Kavod, which came from within ourselves, right? Which came from our recognition that we could increase the awareness of Hashem in this world and our desire to do so, and our gratitude for being able to do so. Partnership with our Kadosh Baruch Hu, what else? We can't be grateful for anything more than that. Who were even the people that worked in the Mishkan? We know they were dressed l'kavod u'l'tiferes, for honor, and we know the whole Mishkan was for kavod, and it was given in a sense of honor and volunteerism, but who worked in the Mishkan? Who were the Kohanim? How did the Kohanim get to be Kohanim? Remember what happened? Mi la Hashem Eli. Who is for Hashem come to me? So who came running? Volunteers. Self-motivated volunteers. Even their choice as Kohanim came from the fact that it was an Idava. It was that their heart motivated them. I'll just take the moment to tell the famous story. And my grandfather repeated a zillion times in his life and was printed over again and again and again. When he spent one weekend by the Chafetz Chaim, he has many stories and many anecdotes from that weekend. The big joke in my family is that Heshi's father literally lived by the Chafetz Chaim for 20 years. He was a Ben Bias. And Heshi says, my grandfather lived there, and we don't have one single story. And your grandfather was there for a weekend, and he made a whole career out of it, and the whole world knows all these stories. But one thing he repeated all the time is when he was speaking with the Chafetz Chaim, Chafetz Chaim said to him, are you a Kohen? So he said, no. So the Chafetz Chaim was very old at the time, he told me, and he had a scream into his ear. He felt embarrassed. He couldn't hear. So the Chafetz Chaim said to him, why aren't you a Kohen? So my grandfather was a little awkward and didn't quite know how to take it and was embarrassed like to answer. And so he said, well, my father wasn't a Kohen, you know, like... Well, so then the Chafetz Chaim said to him, why wasn't your father a Kohen? Yeah. So my grandfather said, you know, he didn't know what to do, but he couldn't not answer. And he said, well, his father wasn't a Kohen? Like, what? He was on nerve. What was happening? So then the Chafetz Chaim said to him, I'm a Kohen. And you know why I'm a Kohen? Because when Moshe said, Mi la Hashem Eli, my great-grandfather went running, and yours didn't. So when you hear the call, Mila Hashem Eli, you make sure you run. So and my grandfather never forgot that, and he lived up to that too, in a thousand ways. And it came, and so the whole concept of the Kohanim who worked in the Mikdash were those people that their hearts motivated them to bring Kavod Hashem to this world. Now here's a Rambam. Heshi also showed me Hilchas Shmita, the Yovel. Rambam brings down here in Perek Yud Gimel, Lama lo zacha Levi benachla sa'ar Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't they get a nachla? And everybody else did. So it says because they were separated la'avod es Hashem, to serve Hashem, u'lesharso, to minister to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mikdash, to show His ways, His good, and to teach His mishpatim, and his darchav hayisharim, His straight ways. And this was their job. They were the teachers. They traveled. They served the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That was their nachala. That was their portion. And then he goes on to say the following in the end of Perek Yud Gimel. He says, and I'm going to read this in Hebrew and translate it because it's everybody. It's for everybody, and it's the core of who we are and our identity. V'lo shevet Levi bilvad, and not just shevet Levi. Ella kol ish va'ish mikol ba'ei ha'olam. Every human being that exists on this world, Jews and non-Jews, all ba'e ha'olam, that come to this world, okay? Asher nadva rucha oso, that his spirit moves him, okay? V'havino mideo lahavdil hibadel la'amod lefnei Hashem l'sharso, that his spirit moves him to separate himself from his own knowledge, he understands. And he knows from himself that he should separate himself, lehibadel, lamod, lefnei Hashem, lesharso, to stand before her God, to serve Him. In other words, to be a partner, to bring the Kavod Shemayim to this world, ulaavdo, ledasas Hashem, v'halach yashar, k'mo she'asu ha'elokim, he should go straight and serve Hashem as he was made to do, uparak me'al tzavarav, ol hechashbonos harabim, asher bikshu b'nei adam, and he drops from his neck, so to speak, the burden of all the other calculations that everybody's making, and just devotes himself to being to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring the Shekhinah down to this world, really to bring Kavod. He's Niskadesh, Kodesh, Kedoshim. He makes himself into a Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Kavod came to us from, right? That person makes himself a Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'yihyeh Hashem Chelko, and Hashem is his chelek, like the Leviim, the Kohanim that didn't have a chelek. They didn't need a chelek. Hashem was the chelek of that person. Benach laso, and Hashem is his portion. La'olam ula'olme olamim, for all worlds and all times, forever after. In other words, it's true existence. It's true reality. It's true purpose. We have a kiyum. We're not just in a, you know, a speck of dust that comes and goes, and Hashem doesn't really need us. It's true existence. V'yizkelo ba'olam hazeh, and what he will be worthy of in this world, it's hamaspiklo, that what he has is HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him sufficient, like the Kohanim, who their position as Meshores Hashem was their nachala, so too that will be enough for this type of a person. That will be their nachala, that will be their satisfaction. And that's what David HaMelech says, Hashem enas chelki v'kosi, Ata tomech gorali, you are my portion, basically. And so the Rambam says here that in the end, anybody who moves them, we're all, Avram is Av Hamon Goyim. The Jewish people are unique among the nations in that we are called upon to play this role. Now, let's just be specific for a second. One question.
If everybody is a volunteer, the Kohanim, once they got their, the rest of them were not volunteers.
Correct. And just like once we built the Mishkan, the day-to-day avoda was not volunteer. 100%. And once we said Nasa V'Nishma, which was volunteer, Hashem put the mountain on our head, and we were no longer volunteers. Okay, let's talk about that for a second. That's a very good point. What we're saying is that the original motivation has to be, as we're stressing today, our purpose, our own, you know, self-motivated love. And that gives us purpose, that it comes from us, and we're needed. And it can't be compelled, because then it's not honor. At the same time, it's not possible that it should be said in the world that Klal Yisrael chose, or the Kohanim chose, or anybody chose to bring Hashem's kavod to the world, and if we hadn't chosen, Hashem wouldn't have kavod in the world. Can't be said either, right? It can't be that despite everything we're saying, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu in and of himself is limited to the fact that he's so dependent on us. It also has to be obvious that Hashem's greatness and honor is not just limited to people's desire or volunteer choice to bring honor to Hashem. That also poses a problem. So this really brings us to an idea from the Parshas Yisro about the mountain over their heads. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to put the mountain over their heads after they said, Naaseh V'Nishma? That's really the same question. Once we donate and build the Mishkan, we're compelled to maintain the Mishkan. Once we said Naaseh V'Nishma, our children are Jews, whether they chose it or not. And the Levim and Kohanim play their role, whether they choose it or not. So there's definitely an element of Mukhrach, forced, compelled. So the Apturav says the following. He says, look, it's got to be that we understand that recognizing Hashem in this world is not in the end a choice. Yes, we could, or maybe we couldn't, and either way the world would go on. If we wouldn't recognize Hashem and be the people that bring kavod to Hashem, there's no world. That's the whole plan of creation. That's why we're purposeful, and without it, there would be no world at all. The world, we would not be bas nadiv, and God wouldn't have any use for humanity in general. This was the purpose of humanity. So in a way, humanity recognizing Hashem, Klal Yisrael, is mukhrach. It had to be. But the only thing a human being can do, the highest levels we can come to, is choosing to be those people that bring Hashem's kavod to the world, the bearers of the kavod, Hashem's partners. We can choose that. But that leaves Hashem, in a sense, and us in a weird predicament that somebody can say, well, if they didn't choose it, you know, then it wouldn't have happened. It had to be. There'd be no world without it. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really does for us is he puts us in a position that we really wanted to get to on our own, but we simply can't get to on our own. We can't make ourselves not volunteers. We can say we volunteer to bind ourselves forever, but we still volunteered for that. There had to be an element which emphatically states you didn't choose it, you didn't volunteer, it had to be, there is no other option, it's mukhrach, it's axiomatic, there is no possibility of life or a world without it, and it's really not because you chose. It is the essence, it's the basis, and that's the mountain over our heads. We couldn't do that. Even choosing to be compelled is a choice. And there has to be an element of Kabbalah Satorah that there's no choice at all. There has to be an element of the truth of Hashem's mastery of this world and that is not subject to people's choice. So my grandfather used to say, the best we could do, and what everybody is supposed to do, and what Rambam kind of described here, is willingly handcuff yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and throw away the key. Mm-hmm. Right? Then you're bound. Then you're stuck. And you really want to be stuck. But still, you chose to be stuck, and there's something not right about that. It has to be that it's not our choice. It's not that Hashem's kavod, in the end, is totally in our hands. So it's a balance. Very good. Thank you for bringing it up. But at the same time, what we're stressing today is the way Hashem set up the world is that to give us ultimate purpose, give us the role of creating the kavod. Yeah?
Well, it's exactly like what Mordechai said to Esther.
Exactly. You pointed out that it's exactly what Mordechai said to Esther. Im hacharesh tacharishi. Exactly. Mordechai said to Esther, if you don't live up to your role right now and be the cause of the salvation will come from another place. Hashem's ultimate purpose and plan will reach its destination. But the question is, if you play a role, or you're just going to abdicate, and someone else will play that role instead of you. Exactly. Exactly. Now, I just want to point out one thing before we end. Inside the Mishkan were three kelim. And this whole beautiful concept is concretized through those three kelim. How are we vehicles for the Kavod Shemayim in this world? There was a Shulchan, there was a menorah, and there was a golden Mizbeach for incense. They, of course, represented the Shulchan, the menorah, and the golden altar for incense. They, of course, represented three major areas of life which have to be elevated and used to bring kavod to Hashem, and we are the vehicles for that. The bread, the Shulchan, bread, the staple of life, the material, the pursuit of all things material, the physical world, our physical acquisitions, what we do with physical objects, how we use them, the meaning we give to them, all things material. That is a way of bringing kavod to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a bracha in the dough. If we approach the material world correctly, then even a little bit will satisfy us. The image for this concept really is through lechem, the lechem haponim. Lechem, bread, it's a very strange thing. You know, we have the 39 malachas and the first like 10 or 11 are about just making bread. Making bread is a battle. Lechem is the shoresh of milchama. There's 10 steps to making bread, basically, which is why, by the way, some people hold the bread with 10 fingers when they make the bracha on Shabbos, hamotzila. And after the battle of bringing forth, you know, bread, creating a loaf of bread, and along the way, there's always sabotage, a frost, and a blight, and a disease in the crops, and the dough doesn't rise. I mean, it's so hard to make bread, right? It's an effort. And yet, when we make the bread, and we make the bracha on the bread, what do we say? Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Like it's, you know, like you picked it off a tree. What is that? So that's the whole concept of our entire relationship to the material world, is that we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we put in effort, we have to acquire things, use them correctly. In the end, they go right back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're for the benefit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all things. And we recognize that Hashem in the end helps our efforts succeed, and therefore everything in the end is a circle. It's given to us by Hashem. Hashem helps us succeed and is used for Hashem, and that's the approach to the material. That's how we've been kavod in that area. The menorah represents Torah or intellect, thinking and understanding. Okay, just like a person can go totally wrong if their approach to the physical, to the material, is not within the boundaries of kavod for Hashem, so too a person can go into crazy places in their head and, you know, contribute lies and ridiculous ideas to the world with, you know, using a lot of brain power and dangerous ideas, if again it doesn't start and end with the premise of kavod shamayim. In other words, we start the day and we say, Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. The beginning of all wisdom is fear of Hashem. If there's no understanding of Hashem in this world, you can be brilliant, but you're not going to end up with Chachma. You're not going to be wise. You're going to tell the whole world that what makes man unhappy is they don't have enough pleasure. And you know how many people are messed up more because of that solution? That isn't the solution? You're going to use your Chachma to create things that are so destructive that the whole world can explode in one split second. You're going to use your chachma to tell people and to prove to people that no one created them and they have no purpose. Without Yiras Hashem, chachma is destructive. With it, it could bring kavod Hashem to the world. Working within the framework of that there is a God who runs this world, then within that framework, our chachma can produce all kinds of ideas and help us and guide us and enlighten our lives and it give us great satisfaction and enjoyment, but again, within a certain framework. And also now we get to the Mizbeach HaKetores, that was associated with not the material and not the intellectual, but the third major motivating force in people's lives, the third great pursuit, the emotional expression. Why is it associated with emotional expression? First of all, know that there were these three kelim were really duplicates of mitzvahs and kelim, in a sense, as you well know, in the tent of Sarah. The Rashi tells us way back when Yitzchak marries Rivka that there were three nisim in Sarah's tent. Sarah's tent was a mikdash mat. There was a bracha be'isa, you know, blessing in her bread because she was totally oriented correctly in terms of the material. The Ehol Eshes Chayil discusses that, right? Shnei Chayei Sarah, she had like two lives, remember? The physical and the spiritual totally combined and balanced. So there was a bracha in her dough that was memorialized in the mikdash, in the shulchan, in the bracha in the dough. It says near Dolok Me'erev Shabbos, at Erev Shabbos, she had her candle burning for Erev Shabbos because of her proper approach in her tent to thought, to ideas, to the intellect, to the concepts. And that was memorialized in the Mikdash in the form of the menorah. That's all. Also, the Western Nair was always Daluk Me'erev Shabbos at Erev Shabbos. Okay? And it says she kept Taras and Mishpacha, and there was an Anan on her Ohel, a cloud on her tent. That was memorialized in the Mishkan by the Ketores, which brought the Anan. So when we talk about Taras and Mishpacha, we're talking about the proper orientation of our emotional expression. Again, without guidelines, without knowing that we're neshama, not just guf, our emotions can express themselves in any kind of way. It's a rushing river that catches us up, and we just helplessly get caught along with it. All kinds of emotions that well up in a person without a sense that a person is a neshama and connected to Hashem, and even emotions are kept within a framework, then the forces of destruction are unleashed, as we well know. And these are three areas in life that we bring kavod by how we carefully utilize these forces, these drives, material, intellectual, emotional, what we use them for, how we shape them and form them, how we give them purpose, give them meaning, and not let them carry us along randomly to unknown destinations that in the end bring a person misery and tragedy. They're all a form, if used correctly, of allowing us to bring kavod to Hashem in each of these areas. And by the way, there are some people that are very much in one area and very little in the others, and then there are people that are combinations. Most people, are, of course, some sort of, have to be a combination. But these are the way practically we can bring kavod to Hashem. Hirsch, by the way, if you're interested, goes into detail about the three kelim and the three mitzvahs and these three areas of life. Yeah.
Why would the adonim mechuyev the chiyuv of the shekel?
Why were we're talking about the slats and sockets that held up the Mishkan.
But that was also...
Everything in the beginning...
It was not Nedava.
Everything to build the Mishkan was Nedava, and everything that was to maintain the Mishkan was mandatory. However, what we're saying is, obviously a person couldn't say, well, I don't want a bring, so I'm putter. Okay, in the end, everybody had a bring. What we're trying to say is that, to understand that bringing voluntarily is the source of a person's meaning in this world. So that's it. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us a great gift.
Yeah, Dali was something to create an upgrade between this and that's right.
That's very nice. Shadina says that the Adonim were designated as a way of creating Achdus in Klal Yisrael. Everyone gathered, by the way, inside the chatzir, inside the courtyard for the Mishkan, and perhaps that's why. But I don't know particularly that. By the way, let me just tell you one thing about the Mishkan, okay? I just want to tell you one thing about the Mishkan you should know. It was built in the Midbar. It was brought into Eretz Yisrael. It was in Gilgal for 14 years. During the time of Kibush and Chiluk, when they were dividing up the land. Then it stayed in Shiloh for 369 years until it was destroyed in the time of Eli. Okay? And then parts of it, bits and pieces of it, were stored away. You know, it took 400 years, things deteriorate. And it seems to be a tradition that we still have somewhere hidden some original parts of the Mishkan. Okay.